Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and with me is...
Leah Gilmore.
Joining us for her monthly visit.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Like
yeah, me too.
And you can join us here at 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888.
Did I do that to you, Mark? Is that just, what that is?
Sometimes there's things, there's so much else going on. You're like, bring that number back. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Or you can log on to Facebook, and I'm going to throw a question up there, and you can have the conversation with us, and we'll read those comments on the air as well. Leah does many things. Singer, songwriter, political activist, works in the ACLU on the board, program director of Maryland Black Family Alliance, Pride and Faith, she's the director there. She sings blues and gospel across the globe, in Zaire, Netherlands, Germany. And then she's here.
Oh, my goodness. God, your check's in the mail. Thank you very much for that introduction. So, I must have been holding up cue cards so you could say all that cool stuff.
So when Leah and I were emailing back and forth over the last day about, Leah emails me an email saying, what do you want to do today?
I kind of needed a clue.
A little clue. And I said, wrote back to Leah, and we went back and forth, and I said, well, what are you interested in? And one of the things Leah wrote back was, sometimes I'm sick and tired of politics. Let's start with something different.
Shh.
No, it's okay, right?
It is okay, really.
It's okay.
I think sometimes folks just want to talk about, you know, what's going on in their lives or what they're reading, what they're listening to, what's happening with their kids or, you know. So it's great for us, I think, to have the opportunity to share what we're listening to and what we're reading and maybe get some recommendations for what to read.
And what to listen to.
And what to listen
music to. Music-wise.
That's right.
Because, you know, I think that music plays, as you know, because that's part of your life, music
yes,
plays
very much so.
A powerful role in the life of human beings.
Every culture. Every culture has their own indigenous form of music. And it even gets more magical when we mix those cultures together and put our musics together. Because you know what music does? It doesn't just talk to our intellect. You know, it's music. It's the soul communicating when we have music. So to be able to discuss it is just thrilling for me to have the opportunity to do it.
Music is one of those things that no matter what kind of music you play or sing, you always connect with another musician or somebody else playing music, no matter what that music
is. Oh, yeah.
Whether it's a Appalachian white banjo fiddler and a kute playing Malian, or somebody playing the congas from some other place, or somebody playing the cello from in Paris, France. If they meet, they make music together.
See, yeah, and that's kind of exactly what I was saying about the soul thing. I mean, I don't mean to sound all New Age. Oh, I guess I do mean to sound that way because that's why I'm saying it. But really, this goes beyond our color, our culture. It's really talking to our soul. I can be in France and sing Precious Lord, and they don't understand a word of English, but they understand where it's coming from. And you see the tears, not because I'm singing it, but because of the emotion that's behind it. You know, I listened to Icelandic hymns and cried, and you know I don't speak Icelandic.
You do not.
Maybe next year, Mark.
You don't even look Norse.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I get confused for Swedish all the time.
Do you?
Oh, it's the hips. Okay.
But, you know, it's one of the things I like to hear from our listeners is what kind of music they're listening to, what's really moving them these days.
Yeah, me too.
We have a couple of pieces we want to play for you just a little bit, right?
Two pieces we love very much.
That we both just came up with independently today, but just to play a little something
right.
to talk about. One is this album that Leah knows that I play all the time when I'm driving around. I just play it all the time.
Me too.
And it's a CD called Time for Change that was recorded...
Yeah. Playing for Change.
Playing for Change.
Right.
Recorded... around the world. And it was recorded in New York, in New Orleans, in the Netherlands, in South Africa, in Ireland, in Kenya,
Native
in India,
Americans.
Native Americans.
Yeah.
And it's just a very moving album where these producers kind of put together all these voices from around the planet and played these just marvelous songs. I think they're incredible songs.
Yeah.
It's a very soulful album.
It's incredible. There's that word again, soul.
Soul.
That's right.
So let's play this first cut on this album, and we'll talk about this and see what it does for you and what it says to you. And when you listen to this, the first guy you're going to hear on this album is a guy named Roger Ridley, who nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. And nobody needs to hear him.
Nobody needs to know. I think the world doesn't, but they do need to know. But he plays on the street corner in New York. And then he's joined in by a guy called Grandpa Elliot, who has this black man with his big old white beard and no teeth, and plays on the corner in New Orleans with his buddy playing washed-up bass. And then you might hear Clarence Beckel, who is an African, Afro-Dutchman, an African man who lives in Holland, playing in the street. And you hear the Twin Eagle playing from the Zuni Reservation. And they're all playing the same song. There's a guy playing cello from Moscow.
Right.
And this all comes together. But let them introduce this song, and we'll talk about this.
There you go.
This song says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're gonna need somebody to stand by you. Oh yeah, oh my darling, stand by me. No matter who you are, no matter where you go in life, you gon' need somebody to stand by you. No matter how much money you got, all the friends you got, you gon' need somebody to stand by you.
When the night has come and the land is dark, and that moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't shed one tear just as long as your people come and stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand, stand,
stand by me.
Come on, stand by me. Yeah. Oh, when that sky that we look upon, where she tumble and fall on the mountains, they should crumble into the sea. I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just a storm.
Mm-hmm. And we can keep this going while we talk about it for a minute.
Yes. Sounds a little bit like church to me.
It is. It's a church around the world.
That's right. And that's what it should be. I mean, it's such a powerful song. I wish that people could see these musicians while they're doing it, because you can just go to YouTube.com and type in Playing for Change, and you can actually see these musicians from all over the world, just folks, you know, singing their hearts out, Stand By Me.
And this, the part of the power of this is, and I like to hear what people think about the power of music. What is the power of music to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 410-319-8888. What's the power of music to you? I mean, if you think about it, this is just regular people singing the songs.
That's right.
And they're singing about people sticking together. They're singing about change. They're singing about standing up for your family, standing up for your land, standing up for what's right in this world. And that's what this CD is about.
That's right.
The entire CD is about that. But
that's
with beautiful music.
Absolutely beautiful music. And it's just a synthesis of all of these cultures and sounds. And that's what we should be. It's so representational. It's like a musical utopia. You know, I use all these polysyllabic words just to say it's good. It's good. I mean, it makes you feel good.
And one of the great blues performers in America, Keb Mo, helped put this together.
Yes, he did.
And the money from this CD goes to projects around the world to help lift people up, help people lift themselves up.
Right, Right, in all manner of ways, not just in music, but to lift them. So even with microloans, all types of different ways, really creative ways that people can lift themselves up. You know, $10 to us is a happy meal, maybe. Mm-hmm. And an extra cheeseburger. Or I guess we should eat something a little healthier.
No, I don't eat that stuff.
Okay, me neither. Not anymore. Not anymore. I used to live by it.
I just don't eat it.
But $10 to someone in the Congo is a life-changing difference. I've seen it while I was walking the streets of Kinshasa. I saw what a $20 bill could do. It could help a woman start a business. It could help a woman deliver a baby safely. It could help a man pay for his sons and daughters' uniforms. That's what this music is doing, and that's what this project is doing.
And I'm just curious what you might think about how we use music here and what we might use music here to make our own kind of change in America, in our own communities, in our own world, and how you might use it, how you might think it. I was gathering a couple of weekends ago and met this guy. I never met him before, who really a lovely man who spent a lot of time in prison and is out. Now he works in community conferencing and is doing a lot of healing out of communities, mm-hmm. and he had these drums. And all of a sudden we were just all drumming together.
Yeah.
Just instantaneously. Just brought him out and people were drumming. I don't even want these kind of weird little drumming circles people go to, but that's not bad. People want to do that.
Don't judge.
I'm sorry. That was bad. I take that back. But I just mean people were playing music together, and it was a music, and you look around the circle, and there were people of every race, both genders, all kinds of people sitting, playing together. You know, and those kind of things have a powerful statement. It's one of the reasons I think the civil rights movement sustained itself was its spiritual power and its power of song.
Music was a definite catalyst, not just a catalyst, but the glue, I believe, for the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you can join hands and sing, you know, we shall overcome, and you mean it. It was what got you through, because when they sat in those churches and the basements of those churches and thought about those dogs and all those other things that were coming for it to them, they would sing. They would sing to inspire themselves to go out. They would sing to keep going. And that's what we do. There's this great song, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And I think maybe if Congress just sang all the bills, we'd be a happy place.
I like that.
Congress, the opera.
So what role does music play in your life? I mean, is this something you listen to while you're driving around? Is it something that has a deeper meaning than that for you? You know, how do you play? Do you sing? You just listen. 410-319-8888 and join us here. We're going to make this question up on Facebook as well. People can write on Facebook and join us here with that as well. You want to play your piece?
Yeah, I want to play. I'll play my piece. We went a little new school, and my piece is a bit old school. From one of my favorite singers, Nina Simone.
Oh, you're playing Nina Simone.
I'm going to play Nina Simone.
Up on
I switched
me.
Up on you. I wanted to shock you. I hope everybody's ready, because it made me after hearing that this piece sounded so relevant. After, you know, Nina was born Eunice Kathleen Wayman in North Carolina. And as Nina Simone, she went all over the place. She was really key in the civil rights movement and key in so many others. She sang Mississippi Goddamn, you know, really, when she was just wanting for change. So we're going to hear a great song by Nina Simone. It makes me feel good. I hope it makes you feel good, too. Let's hear it.
All right, wait a minute. We'll come back and talk. It's
yeah.
It's not a track. It's the ones that Nina sent over.
Don't you love live radio?
Live radio, you never know what's going to happen.
I love it, that's right.
You know how I feel.
Oh, there she is.
Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea. for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me.
Leah Gilmore is with me. Keep Nina Simone under us as we talk. So what is the power of music to you? What does music say to you? How do you use it in your life? 410-319-8888. Fatima in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi,
Fatima.
Hi, I don't know if you remember me. I was one of your theater students way back when.
Fatima, how are you?
I am great. And I just wanted to say that I love your show. I listen to it every day on my drive home. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you. It's pretty good to hear your voice.
Yeah, so music is so powerful. It helps me get through my ups, my downs. It's joy. It's beautiful. It's life. And I don't know what the world would be like without music. I think it's such a source for energy, for spirit, for growth. It's helped me with the death of my mother. It has helped me in my happiest times. So I don't know. Music is the soundtrack to my life. So I don't know where I would be without music. If I ever go through a day without music, something is just off. I grew up, you know, my father, Abu the flute maker.
Oh, I know Abu.
How is your father?
He's going well. So him making musical instruments out of any and everything that he can put his hands on and actually turning it into the beautiful music has really inspired me coming up and made music such an important piece in my life. I play the piano and the saxophone, so that's my outlet. That's my joy, and I just
We should hook up, Fatima. That sounds great.
Well, Fatima is an extremely talented young woman.
Yeah. And a very articulate young woman. So.
As well.
Thank you. She's so right about music. I also helped me get through the loss of my mother and my dad. Because, you know, sometimes there's just that one song that keeps you going. And, you know, and it's right there, right when you need it, right at that time. And you're not even expecting it.
Right.
But it just keeps you going.
That's right. So, Fatima, I have to ask you what you're doing with yourself.
Well, I'm working in the education field. I still do theater as a hobby.
Right.
I haven't in a while, but it's still one of my great passions, and of course music. So I'm enjoying life.
That's good. That's what I want to hear. That's wonderful.
That's great.
And give your dad a hug from me when you see him next.
I surely will. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you, Fatima.
Fatima was a very talented student. I taught at School for the Arts, and her dad, Abu the flute maker. Abu,
he's pretty famous.
Wonderful human being.
Mm-hmm.
He came on my show way before the world met him and brought his instruments on. He would go into the alleyways, into the dumps and trash, find anything he could, a chair leg, an old part of an old bed, anything, and turn it into a music instrument. Then he started making these things. He gave me a nose flute, which I play sometimes.
That's cool.
And he gave me a flute that is tuned to the key of my astrological sign.
Yes. That I love. And that I must hear you play. Okay. You've been promising me a long time.
That's right.
When I was in the Congo, just the power of music and why people need to play it so much. The poverty is so intense, but the music there is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. They take the top of a trash can and they take shoestrings and shred them and pull them very hard and connect a wooden stick to it and make one of the most amazing sounding guitars you've ever heard. That was such improvisation. Music is something we must do as humans. We have to do it.
No, I know. It comes out of the soul of every culture. Every culture makes some kind of...
Right.
Has to make music. And often there's basis of music in many cultures was spiritual. It came out of the spiritual roots of whatever culture that was. and it was reeds and drums and things that were
and
just...
And didgeridoos.
And I have a didge. I love didge. I love going to my didge.
Yeah, that's... I've recently been introduced to it through...
It scares my dog, but I like playing it.
Yeah, it scares most humans. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so forgive me, all didgeridoo players out there. But there really is. I mean, it sounds like where it came from. It's very old world sounding, mm-hmm. you know, and it's indigenous to Australia.
It is.
That's right.
It's made out of, I forget the name of the tree it's made out of, but it's this hollow log, and you mm-hmm. blow into it, and it's your rhythmic breathing in and out.
Exactly.
That creates the sound that comes
circular
out of the
circular breathing,
circular
right.
Circular breathing.
I'm actually recording a song next year with a didgeridoo player. That should be a very interesting experience.
That's great. Where right. are you doing that?
Where? In New York. I really had to sit and think about it. in New York. He lives in upstate New York, and I'm going to go up there to his studio. And it's part of this bigger project we're doing where we bring in musicians out of Common Ground on the Hill where we all met, where we're bringing musicians from different cultures together to make music together. You know, I'm doing this huge project with Scottish and Northern Irish musicians who have a tradition of oppression, and their music mm-hmm. speaks. Like our music, like our slave songs spoke and our freedom songs spoke, they have a tradition of music, so we're mixing the two together.
I'm dying to hear this.
I can't wait. I'm dying to hear it, too.
Oh, you haven't heard it yet? You haven't done anything with it? It hasn't recorded?
Oh, of course, we've done it loosely. But we're doing live recordings in March of 2010, and in November, we are doing some local gigs in Scotland. So I'll be off to Scotland in November. Mm-hmm. It's called Umoja Gallica. Umoja is unity in Swahili, and Gallica is in reference to the Gaelic culture.
Well, speaking of Gaelic, let's play a little bit this is cut number 9, guys. This comes out of Ireland. These are young Irish folk from Northern Ireland, Catholics and Protestants, whose families had spent their whole lives killing one another. And they decided to come together, and part of this Playing for Change songs around the world, part of it was these Irish young women singing together about peace and bringing their communities together. Let's hear a little bit. I think it's just a very powerfully lovely song. Many stories have I heard on my road to regret. That line, I mean, just talking about these young girls who have lost fathers, mothers, that's brothers right. in a civil war between Protestants and Catholics in Ireland.
Which is still very present.
And they're reaching out to say, we have to find a better way than killing one another to do this. You know, I mean, that is the power of song.
It is.
What reaches out and starts touching people. When their parents heard this song, heard these girls singing this first, their parents didn't know what to do. They just started weeping. They had to, put away their guns.
There have been several times when music has stopped the guns. And it really, literally has stopped the violence and stopped the killing. But that's the power of music. And the Northern Irish culture has been so, they have been so oppressed. And to some extent, the Scottish culture and the Welsh, you know, also have that tradition of having very difficult times. So it's not, it's the songs are coming from a place so deep and so wanting of freedom and so wanting of the recognition of humanity. I'm just like you, no matter what I believe. And that's what we're hearing, right. And the power in those, in that music.
These young voices in this choir, just that's what they're saying.
That's right.
They're full of hope and joy in what you're hearing on just right now. We're going to let you go to break and hear these young women and come back after this break. On the way to break, I have to remind you, and want to remind you, that Urbanite Radio Stories on the Mark Steiner Show are made possible by Maren Alsop and the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, presenting its 2009-2010 season, featuring Kathleen Battle, Andre Watts, Yitzhak Perlman, and more. Tickets to the Meyerhoff available at 410-783-8000 or bsomusic.org. Let's let these young folks take us into break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner here with Leah Gilmore, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. For the 19th consecutive year, the Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News & World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. Leah Gilmore's here.
We're talking about a lot of things.
But just what music does to and for our lives. Someone wrote in, meanwhile, that, keep this conversation positive, but what about when music affects us negatively? Rap music that demeans and sappy love songs that give us an unreal expectation of our relationships.
Well, music is just like life. You know, there's good, there's bad, there's mediocre, there's okay, there's sort of good, and it's also a question of taste. You know, some people love those sappy love songs. Some of us, it makes cringe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the...
I just like when I was 17, dancing downstairs in the blue
lights. Me too, man. I was so into Freddie Jackson singing, "You are my lady." You know, I was so into mm-hmm. that. And sometimes now I can't even listen to it. Or Journey. You know, those big 80s bands. I'm dating myself.
I was not into 80s music.
How old were you then? That was my teenage years.
I hate you.
So, you hate me?
No, I'm just
Then I grew up and I started getting into the blues and all that stuff. But, you know, there is, I mean, the misogyny of some of the rap and the gangster and the glorification of violence. But then and still, there was also rap that was good, that inspired us. Hip-hop came from a very good place.
Right.
Hip-hop came from the same place that the blues and jazz and freedom songs came from. But any music can be co-opted.
I mean, hip-hop, the music itself is the music of, and is some of the music is just music of dislocation, is a music of anger, a music of young people who are feeling totally outside of the mainstream of life.
And some of the blues was that as well,
right.
You know,
Oh, no, some of the blues was that
that's
too.
That's right.
Yeah, people don't really, right.
Some that's
of those
right.
Lyrics in the blues.
Come on now.
You couldn't even play on the station.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. It makes a black girl blush.
Is that what that is?
I'm not going there with you. I am so not. But this is what we do. You know, African-American music is not just a soundtrack to the African-American culture, but it has become the soundtrack, period, to the world's emotional. It is so prevalent throughout the world and influenced pop music. There would be no pop music if there wasn't for the blues.
Well, in many ways, there'd be world music internationally, mm-hmm. international culture internationally, musical culture internationally, would not be what it is without the experience of the African diaspora.
Right.
I mean, whether you're talking about the Afro-Cuban rhythms that came out, or whether you're talking about reggae, or whether you're talking about soul music, or the blues, or hip-hop, or jazz, or the samba, or any number of music styles I can name, that the effect of that music and the cultures of the Western Hemisphere that were born in African roots and bred in this hemisphere under slavery, that the roots of that music, the roots of that culture, have profoundly affected and infected, in a positive sense, the globe.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you know,
and I travel, so and so I hear it when I'm on the radio. When I'm on the radio, when I turn on the radio in countries around the world, you know what I hear? American music. You know what I hear mostly? African American music.
Right.
So often, or I hear people like Eric Clapton, or others like, or you know, I think he was with Cream or other groups like that, who were so profoundly influenced by African American music. They were blues groups. Santana. The first group he ever did was the Santana Blues Band. The Rolling Stones, they get their name from a title of a Muddy Waters song called Rolling Stone.
Right.
Our music has permeated, infected, as you said, in a very positive
in
way.
In a positive way.
You know, the world.
I mean, the show we did a few weeks back, and I wasn't quite prepared. The next time we do this, I will be prepared, but for this, is that there, I interviewed this young woman named Abir, and we played it maybe 3 months ago. She's Palestinian, and she is part of a Palestinian hip-hop world. The Palestinian hip-hop world is one of the most amazing, powerful group of young people, and they're touring end of this month across the country. We're hoping to get them on the show to interview them and the woman who made the movie on Palestine called Slingshot Hip-Hop is the name of the movie. And there's other piece off of the Music of the Desert, this music festival in Mali. There are Senegalese, French Senegalese, Algerian, Moroccan hip-hop artists blending Bedouin music with French music, with African-American hip-hop style. There's just amazing stuff that's going on around the world.
There is some awesome music going on. And just kind of segue into that, we're talking about the Palestinian issue. My youngest son is a total rockhead. You know, he's the antithesis of mostly what I like. But he introduced me to this guy who is phenomenal to me. His name is Matis Yayu, but he's Ashkenazi Hebrew. You know, he was born in the States. But what he does is he takes traditional Jewish themes and mixes it with reggae, rock, and
hip-hop.
Oh, I
know who this guy is.
He's absolutely phenomenal. I think his most famous song was King Without a Crown.
Right.
But my youngest son played this song for me, and it's called One Day. And it's just talking about, you know, one day all of this violence will stop. One day all of us will work together. You know, the lyrics are all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't have to fight no more, there'll be no more wars, and our children will play one day. Let's listen to it.
Sometimes I live under the moon, I thank God I'm breathing, and I pray don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around, because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to one day, one day, one day, one day, one day,
Modest Yahoo.
Modest Yahoo. Modest Yahoo actually is a Yiddish pronunciation of Matthew.
Right.
And also Matthias, I believe. But what is so profoundly powerful to me is just the merging of cultures. Mm-hmm. He's taken hip-hop, well, reggae and influences of hip-hop and rock, and yet he's still staying very true to his traditional Jewish roots because he sings about this as well. You know, his life as a person of faith, as a traditional observant person of faith. It's amazing. And well, this is just good music.
One of the things that's gotten lost in Jewish tradition and music is that, first of all, Modest Yahoo is Orthodox. He's a Lubavitch Hasidic Jew. But is that the Hasidic Jews started out as an ecstatic religion, a dancing religion. Hasidic Jews danced
like David.
Their spiritual feeling. They were like the 18th century Jewish Sufis of the ghetto in Europe. They changed the whole nature of the spiritual nature of Judaism. Sometimes I think they've gotten caught in a really bad place sometimes, but they began as this very powerful thing. And he's just coming out of those roots. And his, you know, I mean, there's, and he's talking about where he comes from as a young American Jewish boy being touched by reggae, soul, and the world that he lives in. We've had some people write in on Facebook. Number here is 410-319-8888.
Facebook's a powerful thing.
Facebook's
isn't it?
Amazing.
Yes.
And let me read a couple things that are coming on Facebook about the music. And a lot of comments on Facebook. Here we go. Sam Holmes wrote in, "With the amount of media bombarding us all day and night, I feel we live with a soundtrack. Not like the days of Odetta and Havens and Mahalia Jackson. Mm-hmm. I played the movie Wattstacks from my MICA grad course, and wow, you could really see the relevance of music to culture."
Man, you know, Odetta and Mahalia Jackson are two of my sheroes, definitely. But I think there's so much such a good point to that. The thing about it is there are still people out there who are singing that type of music and don't unfortunately get the same exposure as, you know, the Britney Spears of the world, or I don't want to call other names, but other people, the Rihannas. I am calling names. The Rihannas of the world. I mean, music with a message. There's Jill Scott, who is singing with that type of power and that type of passion, those type of messages. And I do definitely agree that, you know, it's getting lost a little bit, but it's still there. So if you really want to find it, you can.
One of my dear friend has written in on Facebook, maybe he has say, he's just becoming a minister. He's graduated from Howard Divinity School.
Good for him.
Kevin Slayton. Do you know Kevin Slayton?
I'm not sure, but hi, Kevin.
He used
Kevin.
To work at the Institute for, it'll come to me in 3 seconds, but
okay.
He was a lobbyist for social causes in Annapolis, and he's just an amazing guy. Anyway, he wrote in, "How interesting, my sermon title this Sunday is Makes Me Want to Holler.
Ah, and throw up
Influenced
both
by Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues." And Ayamita Muhammad writes in, "Music plays a vital role in my life. It either can change my mood or set the mood. Much is missing from music today. Instead of stimulating the mind, it does more to numb the mind." And it looks like she has a picture of Billie Holiday up on her, Facebook page.
There you go.
And Terry Lynn Terrell writes in, "Sometimes I avoid all media and listen to some tunes just to be in my own space. I go driving and blast the music after a long day, and once I reach my destination, I feel different. The day is behind me, and I can hear my own voice. Music is therapeutic."
God, that's so well said. There's so many times I'm in the car, and I'm just singing my lungs out. And I'm thinking whoever's going past me thinks I am the craziest lady ever.
Well, I do that, but I'm
but
driving.
But I feel better.
I crank up. One of my favorite things to do is go driving on the highway, especially when it's not too, you know, cold out. Roll down all my windows, blast that music as loud as I can, stand it, and just drive and have the music just take over.
Right. Well, I can't drive on the highway unless I have the music. Okay. You know what? My driving companion is Aretha Franklin's Greatest Hits.
Oh.
Because I know every word to every song, and so I'm sure I'm sharing with everyone on the highway. But it keeps me going. But there are so many wonderful important, poignant artists out there who I would so encourage people to see, like Mesa, for instance. She's from Baltimore, and she's a Morgan graduate like I am. You know, she sang on the choir like I did as well. And she is an unbelievable jazz singer, artist. There's, as I referenced before, Jill Scott. You know, there's just so many folks out there. Look on the underground. Look for neo-soul folks. You know, look for the wonderful young people from across cultures. There's some great, 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 grass. Bluegrass.
Bluegrass.
Bluegrass. I actually like bluegrass.
That's where we're going to go from that.
Yeah,
that.
I was grass. Look, baby, I'm not part of the 60s culture.
I know
that
you,
was your
I know.
Thing.
Okay, fine, fine.
That's your thing.
Was.
Redgrass. Right. But there's some awesome bluegrass music. I work with kids who are in their 20s and, you know, their teens. My son's an amazing singer.
It's in the blood. It's in the blood.
I hope so.
We have some folks calling in at 410-319-8888 to talk to us about their music and what music means to them. And we're going to play, by the way, in just a minute, we're going to play Cut 10 on the CD in there. We'll get ready for that. We'll play a little bit of that.
Yeah,
two little more playing for change. 410-319-8888. Jonathan and White Marsh are on the air. Hello, you're on the
Hello,
air.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
You're on the
How
air.
Are you?
Hi.
Well,
I know Jonathan
mother.
Very well.
Is that right?
I just talked about him.
Right? Yeah, I just heard.
Jonathan makes me feel
in.
Very old.
This is the son who likes rock music.
No, this is my oldest son.
The oldest son.
No,
right.
No.
This is no.
I like
two
rock,
very
not me.
Wonderful boys.
No, I love rock music. It's just not my whole thing.
Yeah. But you share with us, what does music mean to you?
Music for me is such a philosophy and a soundtrack for who I am. Just every song kind of basically tells a story for something I've gone through or something I know somebody has gone through. It's such a powerful part of who I am. Everything I think about is through music. My prayer is through music. My writing is through music. Going on the bus, it's always a song there. Walking is always a song there.
Yeah, and you pretty much grew up surrounded by it.
Surrounded
How do
is
I
an
know
understatement.
That?
Right.
Right. I used to drag Jonathan. I did a lot of musical theater to make sure I was able to pay for Morgan, and Jonathan was a real theater kid. So I have this, like, we'd all have our little 5 or 6 year olds, and Jonathan would sing the soundtrack to Ain't Misbehaving.
And I was a strange child.
You were cute.
Right. It was really good because I had two parents who were into two different things. You know, my father was into really kind of that early 80s, late 70s, avant-garde jazz kind of thing. And my mother was really into everything.
Right, right.
So, you know, I kind of got the whole, you know, Duran Duran and Aretha Franklin and Muddy Waters all in one day.
It's so amazing he can speak, okay?
Right. And that and some great Baltimore programs that were in place when I was younger, like Brighter Starts, where they had a lot of music programs where a lot of young teachers were really, you know, passing on a lot of information. Just about music and diversity and just listening to everything and giving it a chance.
I think that's a great point because it's so important for kids to get exposed to music early and to know that they too can do this.
I mean,
you know?
Music needs to be part of not just a course you take once a year.
Exactly.
In one semester.
Absolutely.
Exactly. It's
Absolutely.
Not a luxury. It's a necessity.
No.
Where I think we think about this wrong in this country, that one of the first things they take away when the funding goes
is music and art.
That's right. But this is our soul. This is, in the European culture, they know that in Asian cultures, where they, even Russia supplements.
Well, except the problem is we live in a testing culture. And all counts is what did you make on the test, not...
Oh, don't get me started.
Okay. We're not going to go there today.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Jonathan, glad you called in.
Thank you.
Be good to see you again. It's been a long time.
He's tall now.
I know. That's my song. He was tall. Ridiculous.
He's my big baby. All right. Thank you,
people
Jonathan.
Grow up like that.
All right.
Take care, Jonathan. I'm glad you called in. Thank you for listening. 410-319-8888. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
How you doing? I just wanted to tell you one. I appreciate the diversity of your topics that you share on the radio.
Thank you.
But as I was sharing with the young lady before you guys, I have a 20-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Wow.
And, yeah, big difference.
Well, I've been there.
And I've always, music has always been a very strong, you know, part of my life, whereas my oldest, he just has a wide variety of music. But my 2-year-old, as you stated, that music can be therapeutic and also can be, you know, like he's in his terrible two stages. And I use music to kind of calm him down because he loves to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's learning how to play the harmonica at the age of 2. He just
turned
2 and 3 weeks ago.
That's
He loves all kinds of music. He memorizes. He knows how to sing before he knows really how to formulate sentences. But that is
great.
Large in part because music has always been a strong factor in my life. I love to sing. I love various types of music. And it's wonderful because I've passed that on to my children. And that's what,
it's
as you stated, that music, you know, is so much more and how it can develop an individual. And, you know, my 2-year-old, you can tell he's already mathematically inclined, again, because of music.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But he's a whip because he can throw those tantrums on me, and all I got to do is throw on some music. And he almost forgets about what he got mad about. And
Lisa, I just think you helped half of the mothers in Baltimore
really?
With that.
Thank you. We should have your own show.
Really?
Lisa, thank you so much.
That's
no problem.
So great.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You. Let me go back to the phones here and also read another Facebook comment. Halima Aquino, I love that name, Halima
That's
Aquino,
beautiful.
Wrote it on Facebook saying, music is essential to my life, a basic need. The most important thing about music is that it either inspires me in some way or it matches my mood. When I bring other people together, I incorporate music that will inspire them on an emotional, visceral level, depending on who they are and the goal. Music pulls all the loose ends, including solitary and otherwise disconnected people together, becomes part of the shared experience, part of the memory.
Mm.
So my listening, singing, entertaining, and dancing tastes have to be, by definition, quite varied.
Absolutely beautiful.
I love that. That's
absolutely
that's right on.
Right on point.
I mean, and music does lots of things for that. I mean, for me, there's certain music that I listen to when I'm trying to write a certain thing.
Right. Right, me too.
You know,
me too.
Peter Gabriel's Passion, the CD he made
for
the movie he made that was made about Jesus. That particular, whenever I'm writing about Palestinians and Israelis in the Middle East, I have to put that on my head to write. Is there something about that?
I completely get it. I'd use you know? Nina Simone. When I feel that I am at the end of my tolerance, I just stick on Nina Simone, and I also stick on Mahalia Jackson.
Oh, Mahalia Jackson.
Because Mahalia Jackson, she sings to my soul.
I mean, I grew up with Mahalia Jackson all the time in my house.
So did I, you know, with my dad,
right.
You know.
With my mom.
And, you know, so many of us did, and it's just phenomenal, the inspiration you can get from that.
Let's get some callers in here. There's a couple who called in and left. We don't want them to leave. I want you to call 410-319-8888 to bring your thoughts to the airwaves here as you're about music in our lives with Leah Gilmore here in the studio. Abiku, you're on the air.
What a great name.
It is.
I just think music is just a critical component to religion, spirituality, whether you're chanting a Sanskrit mantra, making a salat in Islam, or making those joyful noise unto the Lord in Christianity. It just it resonates in our subtle body. And if we can just look what's going on in our inner cities and understand what these young brothers and sisters are listening to and the mantras that they just play over and over in their heads. And you can understand why we're in the situation that we're in the inner cities. And that's pretty much all I have to say. And just get off and listen to your comment. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Abiku.
Thank you. It's a very interesting point, you know, because music is motivational, and if you're getting motivated negatively, you're still getting motivated.
Right.
So, you know, hearing the negativity over and over and over definitely, I think, has some type of influence. You know, and hearing positivity over and over and over has influence. That's why we say mantras, or some of us do. And plus, it's some subliminal stuff going on with music.
Right.
You know, why do we know? I know the lyrics to songs I can't stand. Because I've heard it over and over. It's not subliminal. It's just repetition over and over and over and over. I can sing so many songs by like Neil Diamond. Oh, I respect Neil Diamond a lot. But when I can sing about Born in the USA or whatever it's called.
Is that Neil Diamond? Or was that
something about, what is the USA? Today, he sings something about the USA.
Yeah, he does. He did sing a song.
You know
about
what
the USA.
I'm talking about.
Right.
But when it comes on, I'm singing with it. I'm going, oh my God, how did that happen?
There's a song you don't like and it stays in your head and you can't get rid of it.
I
hate that.
Right.
Don't do that to me right now.
Okay.
See,
let me sing. Let me find one.
Hold, stop.
Let me find a good one.
So.
But it is a powerful, powerful thing. I think Ibika make it an excellent point.
You're trying to tell me this. Is that what this means? All right. So let's do this. I want to go to the last track on Playing for Change. A change is going to come. I want to take you out with that to the next program. The next hour can be inspired by some students in Baltimore City who went to Congress to testify with their pictures about how bad the physical conditions in our schools are. These are students taking action. We're going to have them on the air from the Baltimore Freedom Academy and the American Civil Liberties Union to work with them in the next hour. Leah Gilmore, I love you, baby. Good to have you in the studio.
I love you, too. Thank you so much. See you next month.
Yes, sister, you will.
All right.
All right, and maybe before if we can get you on.
That's right.
All right. We're going to go out of here. I want to remind you, as we hear this music, I want to remind you that about the upcoming homecoming cruise aboard the Spirit of Baltimore, WEAA's Cotton Club Casino Fun Night, this coming Thursday, October the 8th, featuring an evening of dinner, dancing, and a special performance by jazz vocalist Gene Karn. Boarding time 6:30. Get your tickets at 410-727-3113 or online at WEAA.org. Sponsored by Tyler Perry's Laugh to Keep from Crying and the MBA program at Morgan State University. Go out with a little music.
Oh, yeah.
Singing for Change. Take care. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming. I know change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it is. It's gone.